Hey everybody, it's Mr. Bond.
And Tormod.
We got our last Journey 3 special 3, I guess.
Yeah.
Talk about the second half of PAX Prime that we were just at. It's awesome!
Yeah.
God. So, Prime Day 3. We got to spend a little bit of time with the NVIDIA Shield.
Yes.
Which was okay, I guess. It was like, well...
It made me realize that I couldn't play Skyrim because I have never used the controls before, and I was just like, and I died to a cow or something.
Yeah, it was weird. So. I played some, like, Sonic 4 Episode 2 or something on it.
Yeah, I tried,
like,
that too, and I realized I never played Sonic either.
It was okay. It was just like, I guess the big thing is hooking up to your PC to do the rendering so you can play your PC games on it, but it's just like...
And it was instantaneous, so that was kind of cool.
It was a solid meh for me, really. It's just like, well, this is neat, but I'm not going to spend $350 on a handheld that connects to my PC.
And then we went to the PC booth to hand in our raffle thing.
That's
and
true.
Then
yeah,
we didn't win.
Yeah, sad panda. We ran all around to all the different manufacturers and got stamps on a card or something and then turned it into Intel.
Which turned out into a, oh, wow, that's cheap thing for me looking at Corsair stuff. So it started with a headset, and I was like, oh, keyboards and mice, eh? Then it turned into a keyboard and a mouse. And then I was like, oh, I need a mouse pad because I'm sick of using the underside of a PC neoprene something or other shell. So that turned into a mouse pad. So, expensive.
So you have one of four things.
Yeah.
That's okay.
About
I bought a keyboard,
that.
Too. We bought the same keyboard, actually.
Yeah.
So I was sort of looking around at mechanical keyboards, but I wanted one that was backlit. And apparently that's difficult to do for some reason, which is bullshit because Corsair had them there. So it's like,
yeah. All right, this one looks good and it's on sale. Yoink.
Yeah, so we talked.
It was
like,
cheaper than Newegg.
We talked to SteelSeries, we talked to Corsair, and I think we talked to a few others for your headset stuff too.
Yeah. Nothing really jumped out at me.
Yeah.
But the lady, as I was standing in line, was just kind of like, "Hey, you should try these." And I'm like, "Okay." So I did, and they were good. And I was like, "Good enough.
Ding,
ding. Half price. I'll take it."
Yeah, so we kind of cashed in on that a little bit, which was pretty good. That was definitely worth it. And day three was really almost entirely Mega Booth from that point on.
Yeah.
We must have made like four or five circuits of the whole thing. Just
yeah.
Talking to people, handing out cards, playing games, and I know you spent a lot of time over at the techie still.
Well, not a lot, but I mean, like, I stopped back and forth and I got a couple water bottles because
yeah.
I was just dying, and you,
great hospitality.
You cleaned
thank
yours.
You
yes. I spent time at Delver's Drop playing what is the final version, I'm assuming. So, very close at least.
Well, not quite final version.
Not yet, but it improved and it evolved a lot since last year. Last year was very limited in its room designs and things like that. This is a lot better.
Right. I just played their most recent alpha like a couple days ago, actually.
Nice.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I saw you launch it, so.
It's pretty good. I mean, it's still not quite there fully, but... They are trying to do something pretty big, so I don't blame them for taking a long time to do this.
Yeah, and I totally bought it. And I was just like, hi, developer. Hug. They felt awkward, and I felt awkward because they felt awkward. But whatever, I bought their game, so it was worth it. Then, it wasn't the last day, was it, that
no.
we got to go over to Matt Gilgenbach?
No, that was this day.
Okay, good. So there's this game called Neverending Nightmares. And it's based off of Matt Gilgenbach's own issues, as he called them, internal psychoses, whatever you might say, about these visions, these dreams, these things. And he wanted to make something artistic out of it, and he made a game. And it's another one of these exclusively black and white adventure games where you're in the house, you wake up repeatedly if things happen in the house, and select objects are colored. It's very much dependent on positional audio, so you have to have good speakers and or a headset while you play this, because you have to hear chains and moans and things like that. You're wandering around this house, you discover things, and then as you discover things, you wake up with potentially the item that you discovered next to your bed.
Right.
And then you just keep going and uncovering things. And
so, fairly large, multi-branching narrative, very much dependent on ambiance and slow movements.
Yep. Yeah, there's one movement speed. You cannot move faster.
Right, for now, which is kind of interesting, actually. Let's bring this up right away. He's actually doing a Kickstarter for it right now.
Oh, I see.
He's about 33% there. He's got something like 18, 19 days left. I heartily recommend you go and help him out a bit, because I'd really like to see this happen. he is just a neat guy to talk to in general. I mean, he's talking about his personal issues, his depression, his OCD and stuff, just out in the open like this, which is crazy. I mean, that's
a
scary thing to, you know, think about doing, but he doesn't. That's pretty amazing. So go check that out. His most recent Kickstarter updates have been actually asking people how they would feel about putting running into the game. Almost the overwhelming response has been either no or very severely limited, which is, to me, the right move.
Yeah. But, it's part of the choking and the suffocating that you feel when you play the game. Like, you can't escape fast enough.
You can't do things, really.
Yeah.
You can't, like,
but it works.
Things,
that's what I want.
Yeah, that's perfect for this type of game. So we spent some time talking to him, and he's just a really neat guy. And props to him for this, and good luck to him, for sure. We also got I got the second taste of the Oculus. At the mini booth, there's a game called Enemy Starfighter, which is a space fight sim with the Oculus just looking around and flying. Oh, that was even better than Aztez, I think, for using the Oculus.
I didn't get to play that one. Sorry.
It was pretty cool. I mean, it's a little disorienting when you get out of it. It's just like, But it was pretty cool. Definitely want that to come out for sure. That's awesome. And then also, the other big standout for day three, Crypt of the Necrodancer. Oh, man. It's this rhythm-based roguelike where you have to move in time to the beat, otherwise you miss, get hit, lose your score multipliers, etc., etc. So it's pretty cool. They had a station set up where they had a dance pad hooked to it. They also had a couple stations just for normal keyboard.
For normal people.
Well, standard keyboard.
Yeah.
Which, I would have done the whole dance pad thing, but the lineup for that was just
ridiculous. Yes.
Exactly. So I'm like, all right, so I'll try it on keyboard. And it was actually still pretty good like that. But.
And then we saw Danny B.
And
I got to hug Danny B. And he in all of his sweaty gloriness. Yep. And then he picked you up.
And then he picked me up. And then we got photos.
It was glorious.
We talked to him for a while.
Yes.
That was a lot of fun. He's a great guy.
He is a great guy. I got to hug him 2 years ago. So next year's going to be Notch again. It's like an every other year thing. my big fuzzy friends hug. So,
and then right after we were done talking to Danny B, we were just talking to just another run-of-the-mill guy next to him. We're like, just talking to him. He's like, oh, hey, you know what I did? I'm like, I did the music for FTL. Like, oh, my God.
It's
Ben.
Mr. Prunty.
Ben Prunty, holy shit. It's just like, oh, God. That was pretty good. Meeting just those two right after each other is just like, oh,
yep.
Damn it.
Nerding with composers. It's a fun thing.
Yeah, that was pretty good. After that, we just did some more general walking around. We went down another side hallway of sort of indie, sort of not people.
Yeah, okay.
We got to play Super Time Force, and we got to go by and meet Tim Schafer and Tommy Rufine. Oh my God, Tim Schafer and Tommy Rufine. Holy shit. That was fucking amazing. So we were walking by the Mugenics booth. That's by Team Meat.
Yep.
And we saw Tommy Rufine just sitting there drawing shit for people. They're like
terrible, awful
things that we cannot mention, but it's like, holy shit, let's go talk to him. So we went and talked to him. We got a couple of Mugenics comics. We had him do some art for us and sign stuff for us and took some photos with him. God damn it. He's another one of those great fellas.
Yep.
So then after we were done with that, we walked by, and then there's the Double Fine booth right there. We were walking by, like, oh, cool, all right. And then there's Tim Schafer standing there.
Just randomly.
Just there. He's just like, ah!
And there's this little thing next to it that says, Tim Schafer signing, 1 p.m. It was like 2:30. I'm like, I'm poking at Mr. Bonnie. I'm just like,
wait a minute. he's not being mobbed by people. He's just standing there like, okay. And I'm like, shit, I don't have anything for him to sign. So I bought something real quick from their stand.
Never forget.
I didn't get that until a
couple nights ago. Amnesia.
Which is hilarious. But anyway, so I bought the Amnesia documentary.
And I had him sign my PAX Prime badge, yes.
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 That was the one.
And that was pretty glorious.
So we talked to him very briefly, and we got him to sign stuff, and we got photos with him, too. So it's like, holy shit, we met four awesome people in the same day. It's like, ah! Cripes.
Hey, yep.
That was most of day three. sure yeah. there's tons of other stuff I'm forgetting, but there's well, only so many standout things I can remember.
I got to play Pokemon X and Y.
Pokemon!
Holy crap. Like, I can tell that it's pushing the hardware to its limits because the frame rate was kind of eh in places, and it was just trying to do so much. And you can interact with your Pokemon a lot more now instead of just, like, turning around and tapping A and be like, Enchilada is sniffing at the ground timidly, or whatever the case may be, or Enchilada looks like he's really having a good time with you. So instead, you actually have the entire bottom screen when you're running around on the map where you can, like, play with your Pokemon, literally, like, it's almost kind of like a Tamagotchi, not quite. But in battle, your Pokemon react differently now, too, and they have expressions and things like that, and somehow something critted on my Fennekin, and it was like, Fennekin got really hurt, it looks like it's about to cry, and I was just like, you can't do this to me! Ugh. And the new professor's name is Professor Augustine Sycamore, and the Mega Evolution of Mewtwo is really cool, and it was cool. lots of cool things. So, I was super, super impressed. I'm totally buying probably X because the critter on the front looks cooler than the other critter, so, yeah.
I never really quite understood the differences between their paired releases there, but...
They have different Pokemon in each game, so you have to trade back and forth to get them all.
Oh, right.
That's been the case since Red and Blue, so, yeah. But in any case, yeah, it looked really, really great. I was just blown away at how much it can improve from one generation to the other, because Black 2 and White 2 just came out like 3 or 4 months ago. I mean, granted, yeah, it's on DS, but the 3D was really cool and everything was really cool, and it looks so much better when it's not super stretched on your screen on the 3DS XL. That was great.
Gave off a bit of a Battle Stadium vibe to me.
Yeah, kinda. So, and you can, like, interact with objects in the wild, so to say. Like, you can ride certain Pokemon and things. So that was kind of cool. It was different, and I like it. And instead of being, like, top-down moving about a little square on the screen, here we go. somehow I was saying with the music there for a sec. But it's front-facing 3D, and just, yeah. Totally, totally excited for that. And I got a Fennekin little paper hat thing that reminds me of the old Burger King crowns, and they had giant blow-up starters, and everybody was fainting over Fennekin instead of Froakie and the other one whose name I forget. So, yeah. I am so excited. And you get to, like, choose a Gen 1 starter, too, so it's just like, I can get Charmander back, yay! Like, all these Pokemon whose name I remember! Ha! Imagine that!
One of the original 150.
One. 151.
They didn't have 151 in Red and Blue.
Yeah, they did.
They did?
Yeah, Mew. Mew is Pokemon number 151.
I think they had that in Red and Blue, though.
It was there. It was released at a special event, legitimately.
Oh, I see.
Later, well after the game's release, but there are a sequence of events you can do in the game in order to trigger a wild Mew to appear. And
all right.
I can show that to you later. It's like game glitching to the max. It's so cool.
That's okay. I'll take your word for it.
Game Boy glitching. It was really great. Anyway, so yeah, that's day 3.
Oh, one more thing I forgot about day 3. Electronic Super Joy.
Okay. So yes.
Yes.
That was so cool. Like, you got to shoot rainbow missiles at the Pope. That was awesome.
It's a very tight action platformer.
Yes.
I want to say loosely rhythm-based because the music is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But it's not like, you know, the gameplay is not really based on the music, but it's still awesome. So I picked that up right away at the con, grabbed the OST and the game just right away and said, oh man, this is cool. It is pretty cool. Except there's a bit of an input bug in there, but whatever. That doesn't matter. I was listening to it a little bit at work yesterday and today. Just the music is like perfect coding music.
That's good.
Heavy electronic and techno and.
So it's Electronic Super Joy.
Yes, it is. It is very good.
Yes.
Heartily recommend. Heartily recommend.
Excellent.
And that was day 3. Day 4, Sad Panda, last day of PAX.
Yeah. I bothered the Muteki people more often that day because I was just kind of like, I'm running out of things here. Anna Marie, entertain me. And she gave me more water.
And I spent the large part walking around the Vega booth still. I mean, still handing out more business cards and talking to more people. Of course, hitting up the second half of the mini booth of folks that had swapped in. Ended up playing something called Rimmed Capsule. It's an Android iOS game, very slow, meditative. You build a space station and defend it with very primitive, like, walking rectangles as your people.
That's kind of cool.
I'll show you sometimes. I bought it, like, that night.
Oh, okay, cool.
It was cool. Galaxy by 17-bit Software. Or just 17-bit. Whatever. They did Skulls of the Shogun last year. This was actually my first experience with the PS4 controller, which wasn't bad. I mean, it's like a normal gamepad. A pretty good gamepad, I should say. It's very good control. Very neat, the sort of stuff that they did. They're using Unity 2, so it's neat seeing more examples of Unity in use. Also, got to play some of the PAX 10 stuff. We wandered up to the sixth floor. I played a round of Towerfall with just some random folks.
I almost won.
I got fucking robbed somehow. That was a lot of fun. Also played a little bit of Gunpoint, which is just wiring shit to other shit. So have a light switch trigger an elevator, trigger a light, trigger a computer or whatever.
Trigger a security door that opens and closes repeatedly and kills the guard who walks through it. Yeah. That's broken.
And then the next one walks in and gets killed too. So that's like, okay, that's a little OP, but whatever. I had a lot of fun. I accidentally did that. That was crazy. I think the last one I played that I remember was They Bleed Pixels. It's another action platformer type thing. Hugely gory, 16-bit-ish. Yeah. I bought that right away there, too, because it was available, and it was pretty cool.
Nice.
So, and then the last panel we went to was the music panel.
Yes.
With
Grant Kirkhope, Danny B, C418, and Big Giant Circles,
yep.
Jimmy Hinson.
Jimmy
okay.
Hinson,
I remember his real name. I'm just like,
So that was great. I mean, the interaction between those four was fucking hilarious.
Well, yeah. And what was C418 doing 15 years ago? I was like, yes.
They raked on each other so much. That was quite bizarre.
And I like how Grant Kirkhope is C418's dad. Yep. Thanks, dad.
So that was that. And that was the end of Prime.
Yeah.
I mean, I did blog posts after each night just to so I could keep shit straight.
I was too
way
dead.
Too much to hold for all 4 days. So I did inventory of all the cool shit that we got. And ended up giving out half a box of business cards, which was like 25 or so, which was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, my ideal goal was to empty one box entirely, but getting half a box was pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, we got half a box in return, so.
Yeah. We definitely got as many cards as we gave out, because everybody was just so open to exchanging shit. I mean, it's amazing.
Yep.
Really wish we had cards last year, but it just didn't work out.
It's all right. We have a better design now and something that we can trademark. Yeah, that word.
Yep. Yeah, working on that.
Oh, I know.
Making progress on that.
I know.
Got a whole bunch of pins and shit. A lot of lanyards, a lot of gear. We bought some stuff, obviously.
And Danny B signed my PAX Dev badge. I cornered him. I was just like, mine. And he found a signing Sharpie and signed my lanyard. Or my dev badge. So, yep, that was that. Good time had by all, not including the layover.
Yeah, that was kind of rough.
Next year, I'm doing the planes.
I guess we can't do them that early.
No, not at all.
Because we got boned on the flight changes. But, you know, that's how it goes. So we made it back okay. We're all rested up now and not quite as exhausted.
And I'm on call.
And you're on call. Yeah. And we're talking to lawyers and we're doing a lot more stuff than we were doing before PAX. So definitely gave us the appropriate kick in the ass to do shit.
And look at this, Journey 3.
Journey 3, how about that? So we'll have all of this posted by this coming Friday, which is the 13th. Sometime that night, I will post the stuff.
I was just kind of like, well, they're going to be hearing it then.
Yeah,
so.
I know, but you know, it's just as a wrap-up type
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So all three of these will be posted that night. And we will do the official Journey 3 episode 1 possibly the week after.
Works.
We'll see how much time it takes to get together the content for that, and we'll talk to lawyer friend Colin to get his input on this stuff too. And Journey 3 is going to be fucking amazing.
Yup.
Mixed in with our own dev stuff now. Now that we're doing things. So, yeah, that's it. That's PAX Dev. That's PAX Prime. That's Journey 3. Prequel to Journey 3, rather, I guess. Info. All right. So, have a good night, everybody. We'll see you next week, I guess.
All right. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.